The Older Woman by Tony Bagley, starring Martin Clunes as Roy, Zoe Wanamaker Jane, and Toya Wilcox Elsa. With David Troughton and Jeff McGiven.
It's with us forever. The boy in us all. The boy in the man. So, what do you think? Bearing in mind it's just the first draft.
It's a stonker. You haven't seen the fixtures, have you?
Come on, the truth, eh?
Well?
Be critical.
It's a load of cobblers, basically.
Hey?
It's a hymn to arrested development. It's like one of your pieces in Country Diary. This is a prize giving at your old school. It's a different audience. I mean, for one thing, they won't be on Zimmer's.
I said be critical. I didn't say stake me out on an anthill with golden syrup smeared on my knackers.
Keep yourself. I'm trying to get there.
These kids are going out into the world. It's goodbye to childhood. There'll be a few of them wiping away a tear tonight.
Yeah, about 10 minutes into your speech. Look, Roy, I've got about 15 minutes to put the entire sports page to bed.
Well, I don't care who knows it. I was inconsolable when I had to leave school.
And you've been Miss Castblossom. Nobody under 50 has heard of you or your column.
You won't mind if I file your comments under professional envy and completely ignore them, will you?
Why did they ask you, anyway?
Because I'm their most successful old boy.
You mean they couldn't find anyone else?
Yes. No!
There's only one man who can do this job, and that's you.
No way. Those days are behind me. The deception, the lies.
Just one final job, Mr. Hitchcock. There's no one else who's up to it.
Perhaps you should take a look at my file sometime. I've resigned.
No one really resigns. It's always there. How can you forget? Berlin.
The school trip to Berlin. Sometimes I think I was only really alive in Berlin.
You'll do it, then?
Yes, I'll do it.
You wouldn't believe how corny some of our guest speakers can be.
Just one final job.
I'm sorry?
Oh, nothing, I was just...
As I was saying, you wouldn't believe how corny some of our guest speakers can be.
I'm sure.
They always end up talking about how they never quite shook off their school days or some such twaddle. The boy and the man and all that.
Really?
It's different for those of us who never left school. Ditto the kids. They can't wait to be out of here. Still, a professional journalist is hardly likely to fall into more obvious traps.
I hope not.
What will you be speaking on?
Well, I thought I'd extemporise, get the feel of my audience and take it from there.
Well, don't feel hamstrung by convention. Be as blunt as you like.
Blunt?
About education today. The national curriculum, opting out. Give us something biting and original. Something controversial.
Oh, well, you can count on me to be controversial. Controversy's my middle name.
I mean, education's just about social control these days. I don't know why our masters don't give us cattle prods and have done with it.
Oh, but surely teachers...
The word's an anachronism, I sometimes think. It confers on me a kind of tribal status. Makes me sound like a village elder.
Good heavens.
I've shocked you, Mr. Hitchcock.
Well, no, it's just, I think I've seen one of my old teachers. I didn't think any of them would still be here. Not 20 years on.
There's still a few of the old guard left.
Miss Callahan, of all people. Well, at least she used to be Miss Callahan.
Still is.
Never married.
Married to the job. She's head of middle school these days.
Her years have been kind. I was a bit in love with her, you know. Well, not just me. I mean, quite a bit of spot-squeezing went on before her lessons.
Lesson? Word's a bit of an anachronism, I sometimes think. Jane?
Oh, no, I don't want to.
It's not. Someone I'd like you to meet, Jane.
Bloody parents. They took such balls. They must rehearse or something.
This is Mr. Hitchcock.
Oh, you're not a parent, I hope.
He's our guest speaker. He tells me he was one of your pupils.
Yes, of course.
I didn't think you'd still be here.
I'd better see if we've got enough seats.
I was just saying to Mr. Stay, you don't look in the least ravished.
I'm pleased about that, on both counts.
I couldn't believe it when I saw you just now. It's as if the last 20 years were an existential nightmare and I was still back at school.
Take it from me, the last 20 years were an existential nightmare.
Actually, if you hadn't kindled an interest in Ing Lit, I doubt if I'd even considered journalism.
You're a journalist?
I write Country Diary in the local.
Someone writes that, do
they? Kindle.
Sorry?
Oh, sorry, just thinking aloud.
So, what are you going to speak on?
Oh, I thought I'd extemporise.
I hope it's not going to be a starry-eyed saunter down memory lane.
God, no.
How our school days are still with us, the boy and the man, etc., etc.
Nothing so corny.
Only teachers live their school days day in, day out.
Hmm.
Something happens the moment ex-pupils walk through those doors. It's as if they'd never left. Their putty in our hands.
Well, you needn't worry about me. My putty set a long time ago. I think you'll find my speech fairly biting stuff. Maybe even horribly controversial.
Right. Jolly good.
So I think what I'm saying is that school is an instrument of social control. A tribal society in which teachers are the village elders. Their task is to render you controllable so that you present no threat to the world into which you are about to be to be sent out into. Actually, to pursue the analogy, the prizes arranged before me could be interpreted as the badges of social control, as part of a complicated matrix of reward and deterrence, the baubles of society in terminal decline, an attempt to dignify futile effort with some purpose. I'm not saying that that's how I view them, of course. Mind you, the question arises, have these awards been fairly apportioned in the first place? I mean, can we guarantee they're going to the deserving? After all, we know rewards are unjustly apportioned in the real world. We know that the undeserving are awarded, and the deserving aren't. Rewarded, that is. Well, I think that's it.
Everybody, I must ask you to show our guest the courtesy he was reluctant to extend to us. Everyone, after all, is entitled to their opinion.
No!
As wavered as it might seem. Mm. And now, Mr. Hitchcock, this old tribal chieftain calls upon you to present these badges of social control to our undeserving prize winners. If, of course, they haven't already come to look upon them as baubles of a society in terminal decline.
And then he slags me off, only minutes after he's given me the subject for my speech.
Well, maybe you should have stuck with the boy and the man after all.
She wouldn't speak to me either.
Who?
Miss Callahan, my old teacher.
Mm, poor old dear, must be gaga by now.
Yeah, she's only about 8 or 9 years older than me.
Yeah, still pretty old. Do you want my tomato?
God, the lengths I went to impress her. I even bought a bull worker.
Mm, just what she's always wanted.
Yeah, for me, it was an attempt to remodel my physique.
I hope you got your money back, because if that's a remodeled physique...
It's strange. It's like an old girlfriend coming back into your life. She's still very attractive, handsome, matronly.
Matronly. You're a very warped person, you know, Blossom.
It's all relative-y. Even someone your age would have been an older woman when I was 16. Not that I'm into older women now. No, now I'm more into girls who were my age then.
I suppose you'd have to be. At your age, an older woman is someone who's already onto her second hip replacement.
5 minutes with you makes me long to be dunked into pig's urine.
And here you are, careering towards middle age and reminiscing about tree camps and your old teacher. It's called arrested development.
Yeah.
Then there's your love life. Country had a Labour government when you last had a love life.
So what? I'll soon be the older man. A whole new market is about to open up.
No, this is going to come as a shock, Blossom. But no woman is ever going to see you as the older man, even when you're in a sheltered home.
They're not.
I'd go for the little boy lost market if I were you.
Such precocious brilliance! There's a depth in your early Country Diary pieces that belies your youth.
I know, miss.
There's a searching, remorseless majesty in your use of language. Your description of the flower show echoes Christ's Amphitryon.
That's right, miss.
And can we be left in any doubt that your piece on the opening of the garden centre paraphrases Girardot?
Girardot, miss.
How you must have suffered to have achieved such a penetrating vision at such a tender age.
I've suffered, miss.
I've decided to let you carry my books home. We can go back. The long way.
I thought we'd go back.
the long way.
Oh, pass, if you don't mind, mate.
Oh, Dick.
Who's going back the long way?
That's a private fantasy. You're too hideously lifestyle to appreciate its bouquet.
Speaking of fantasy, what do you call this?
What's wrong with it?
It's not about the country.
Well, it depends what you mean by country.
Look, Royston, you write Country Diary. This is a lyric poem about your old teacher.
Well, how do you know she doesn't live in the country?
Who doesn't live in the country?
Miss Callahan.
Does she live in the country?
Well, she might. Anyway, I expect she's gone for walks in the country. And she made me read Rural Rides for A-level. And I had to drive through the country to get to the school.
Read my lips. It doesn't belong in Country Diary. It's about you discovering one of your old teachers is still alive. Improbable as that may be. Write it up as a feature about prize giving. Tell them about the standing ovation you got for your speech.
Well, I don't want to blow my own trumpet.
It's a bit of a radical policy shift, isn't it, Blossom?
Speaking of school, did I tell you they've made me a governor?
Yeah, I think you might have mentioned it a few other times.
I'm going to rescue this piece from my black tray. It was clinically dead and then came back through the vortex. Only make it less steamy. All this stuff about loins appears to is a bit D.H. Lawrence.
My loins weren't stirred, exactly. They're more shaken than stirred.
Just say she carries a year's wealth. At the moment, it reads like you've got a bit of a thing for the woman. Almost forgot, I'm giving you the tide tables.
What? You're giving me the tide tables?
We've all got to pull our weight, mate.
The tide tables?
There's a lot of competition out there. Free sheets, local radio and TV. I can't even afford a court reporter anymore.
Forget it. I'm not doing the tide tables. The tide tables come under clerical duties. I write Country Diary. Country Diary is the flagship of the paper. And what about all the subbing I do?
Go at work.
Why can't you give the tide tables to the trainee?
Because I've enough on his plate. I'm giving him to E.
As a sex slave?
You'll need help with two extra pages.
What?
The only way we're going to get some younger readers is by increasing the sports coverage. The average age of our readership is about 108.
How am I going to fill two extra pages?
With people, E, names and faces.
I'm not doing the tide tables.
How do you manage to sustain this high opinion of yourself, Royston, in view of all the evidence to the contrary?
I do not have a high opinion of myself.
Remember when we ran through the streets of Dublin intoning Gregorian chant? Ah, the streets. The blistered, peppery streets of Dublin. And remember when we instructed the brothel madams on the finer points of Greek drama? The sea, the snot-green sea, the scrotum-tightening sea.
And remember when I had my tonsils out? Oh, what a trio. Joyce, Yeats and Roy Hitchcock. Literary lions of the 20th century.
Literary lions, the trousers tongued by honeyed dewdrops of pea, Joyce, Yeats, and Roy Hitchcock.
Who'd have thought I'd get a Nobel Prize, eh? I was just an obscure journalist on a local paper up until 1993.
Roy Hitchcock, gliding to the buttery podium to be honored. Roy Hitchcock.
Bastard!
I thought I'd better show you before someone else did. We took a viper to our bosom.
What's all this stuff about me purring? What does it mean, I purr? I don't purr, do I?
Absolutely not. It's more of a serrated growl. And as for the bit about you exciting young male admiration...
What?
The bottom of the page, just before he equates you with hot, bubbling mud.
Hot, bubbling mud?
Where? This bit here. Suddenly releasing the hot, bubbling mud of repressed, pent-up sensuality.
Oh.
Mud doesn't really work, does it? He needs a more positive image. Molten lava, perhaps.
It's like some ghastly nightmare.
You're not, are you?
What?
Repressed.
The whole school's going to read this.
I expect most of it already has. Coffee?
No.
You know, it's... strange. It reads as if he's still a bit intimidated by you.
Well, if he's not now, he will be.
Maybe subconsciously he's trying to impress you. He's still the pupil and you're still the teacher.
Oh, no. His development was arrested long before I got my hands on him. Somewhere around the anal phase, I'd say.
You can see what he's done with this article. He's tried to construct a pre-feminist matriarchal authority totem.
Has he really?
Mistakenly, I think. He's obviously got unresolved feelings about his older sister.
Whole article's been a mistake, as he's about to find out.
Hitchcock,
Your piece about prize-giving. At least the bits of it that aren't about me.
Ah, Miss Callahan, how nice. Look, can I ring you back? I'm going to pop out and...
You'll pop out when I say you can pop out and not before.
I admit, I may have mentioned you in passing.
23 times in passing, actually.
23 times? Did I really?
I can see I'm not purring loud enough.
I admit the purring was a bit over the top.
As well as being an overused intransitive verb.
Yeah, I was being figurative.
And what about me bathing in the warm glow of the young male admiration I excited? Was that figurative?
Too. Well, you did excite young male admiration.
If I did, I assure you, I didn't bathe in it as well.
Well, sometimes I get carried away on an adjectival binge.
It's a noun, actually. Or a transitive verb, or both. Anyway, and listen, just to put the record straight, I am neither repressed nor pent up.
Well, that's why I tried to counterpoint it with the
mud.
You didn't like the mud?
I didn't like any of it. Your lyric passages are a sort of prose equivalent of Edward Woodward's singing.
I was just trying to get across that you weathered rather well.
Weathered?
Yes, weathered.
Was it necessary to tell the world I'd weathered?
But I only once referred to you as Miss Callahan. The rest of the time I referred to you as Miss C.
Making me sound like a key witness in a Vice Girl scandal.
Anyone else would have been flattered.
Flattered? Repressed pent-up eruptions of bubbling mud don't flatter easily. I want a public apology in your paper, or else I get my repressed, pent-up solicitor to purr at you.
You're not flattered, are you?
Do you know what they call me at school?
I think perhaps I do, yes.
Dirty Harry, as in Dirty Harry Callahan, as in shoot first and ask questions later.
I've got this theory about Clint Eastwood, that he's the illegitimate son of Vera Brittain.
By the way...
What?
Your flies were undone.
What?
You'll never know if the silence that greeted your speech was a reaction to your muddled thoughts or to the fact that you hadn't adjusted your clothing. I want that apology in next week's paper.
Right.
Thank you, Gordon. Right, London. She bathes in a warm glow of young male admiration while releasing the hot, bubbling mud of repressed, pent-up sensuality. She's a key witness in a Vice Girl scandal, and her alter ego is a violent San Francisco cop.
Are we talking here about a rather bumptious female teacher of a certain age, and a teacher with a rather overinflated view of herself?
Yes. Why don't you pursue that line of inquiry, Irene?
Want a bed in the warm glow of our young male admiration, miss? You can if you want.
I'm trying to cut down on that, thanks very much.
You can if you want, miss.
I said I'm trying to... You're dead! Boring little bastard.
Having problems?
This has been going on all day.
Take no notice.
That's all we seem to do these days. Take no notice. We take no notice of the hole in the roof of the gym. We take no notice of the jumble sales we have to buy luxuries like books. We take no notice of a government that treats teachers like the last bastion of restrictive practices.
It's not that bad.
I'm not sure if I want to still be teaching by the time I'm 50. Maybe enough's enough.
But it's your life.
Well, maybe it shouldn't be. Maybe that in itself is a kind of arrested development.
What would you do all day?
Throw pots.
Throw pots at what?
Well, I've got this redundant outbuilding at the back of my place. I might turn it into a pottery.
Oh, look. Things aren't that bad.
People turn to pottery only in times of crisis, do they?
You're depressed because of this article. Everyone will have forgotten it this time next week.
I suppose you're right.
Want to bathe in the warm glow of my young male admiration, miss?
Oh, go away.
I think she'd be grateful for a bit of attention at her age.
It's the time of life.
Yeah, precisely. She's badly in need of hormone replacement therapy.
I meant you.
I was only being gallant. I thought her generation went for all that gallantry stuff.
Suddenly it's her generation. 5 minutes ago she was the girl teacher.
She's old enough to have known William of Orange in his prime.
Well, maybe it's all turned out for the best. You'd have made a rather lacklustre toy boy.
Oh, great. A failed older man and a failed toy boy. Do I get to succeed at any of the seven ages of man?
Well, you've always got Dare. You'd be really good at that.
Anyway, it's perfectly acceptable in these liberated times for a man to be the younger partner in a relationship. Gone are the days when he had to be 40 years older than a woman he...
Fancied.
If I fancied her, which I don't.
Then why write about her like she's one of the prizes you were giving out?
The article was a joke that didn't go down very well. But an English teacher doesn't know paradox and irony when she sees it.
Well, there's paradox and irony, and then there's your stuff.
It was satire.
Must have missed the satire.
Look, what are you going to do? The woman's angry. She wants a public apology.
I'm writing it now.
You mean she's going to get an apology?
Well, sort of an apology.
What sort of apology? There are those who think she's about as stable as a post-war Italian government. Crikey.
They should be taken out and shot.
There are also those who think a minute spent in her company is like an eternity spent with Jim Davidson.
A much underrated comedian. Yeah, his morale-boosting visits to the Falklands have brought joy to the hearts of squaddies stationed there.
The truth is that she's completely devoid of personal vanity. She would never mistake a lukewarm compliment from a pupil of 20 years ago as more than what it was. She knows that to do so would be pitifully sad. That's it, is it? That's her apology.
What do you think?
She'll be over the moon, Blossom. She'll be overcome. Bastard.
I thought I'd better show you before someone else does.
Jim Davidson.
Oh, he appears to be inciting the female authority totem to reach out into his own post-structuralist ambiguity.
In layman's language.
He wants to be dominated.
He wants domination, he'll get domination.
But beware the subtext. There's a paradox in his challenge. For domination, read submission. A subconscious desire for the female authority totem to relinquish control at the last minute and reveal a strong, underlying masochism.
He's going to die. Let him read a strong, underlying masochism into that.
Looks like he'll have to revise his position, then.
But first, there's going to be a terrible miscarriage of justice. I'm going out into the corridor, and I'm going to pick on and probably maim for life the first young male that happens along. Jane Callahan to see Roy Hitchcock.
Brilliant. Have you got an appointment?
You need an appointment to congratulate someone for his terse, exacting journalism.
Afraid so.
What about murder, then? Would I need an appointment for expunging every last breath from his asinine, cliché-ridden body?
Brilliant. Actually, I don't think he's in.
If he's not down here in 1 minute flat... Never mind, I'll find him myself.
Brilliant.
Where is he? Mr. Hitchcock?
Someone to see you.
My cup runneth over.
Mr. Hitchcock.
Miss Callahan, how nice. Actually, I was just off home.
You'll go home when I say you can go and not before.
So this is Miss Callahan.
Hello. I've been dying to meet you ever since he started serialising your life story.
You don't often see a teacher in the wild. They can't cut it in the real world, you see, so they stay put, where they've been since the age of five, in school, just in case they discover they aren't head girl material on the outside.
What happened to my apology, Mr. Hitchcock?
It went in yesterday's issue. Now, if you'll excuse me...
An announcement to the effect that your old teacher is mistakenly and vainly under the impression that a very young ex-pupil fancies her, your italics, does not constitute a public apology.
Well, I seem to remember including the word apology, a noun, by the way, in there somewhere.
Only at the very end, after you'd equated me with Jim Davidson and the Italian government.
And after you suggested she was lucky to get compliments at her age.
Did I only suggest that?
What you suggested was that if this aging, deluded old tart thinks she could be fancied by one of her ex-pupils of 20 years ago, then fine. Here's her apology.
Oh, you want a public apology? Fine. I apologize!
An audience seems to be an irresistible provocation to your overinflated ego.
Right, son!
You just can't resist causing an incident.
What's going on? I can hear you two on the next floor.
Don't worry, Miss Callahan's just going.
Oh, this is Miss Callahan, is it?
How do you do?
This is all your fault, Dick. It's asking for trouble letting an apology through. You should have spiked me.
You want to be spiked more? You shall be spiked more. And as for you, Miss Callahan, I have a good mind to report you to your Mr. Say. I can't have my teachers behaving like demented banshees in public.
Your teachers?
He's been made a school governor before he tells you himself.
Oh, I'm not here to discuss school. I'm here to discuss the demise of British journalism.
Oh, then, Dick's your man. He brought it about almost single-handedly.
Actually, I remember you now.
You do?
You were the blabbermouth with no friends. You were always getting beaten up in the playground.
Really?
Yeah.
If you remember me, then you'll remember the present I gave you.
What present?
A collapsible umbrella.
That was you, was it?
You see? I'm not such a swine that I can't be rehabilitated into society.
A collapsible umbrella? I suppose you think the female authority totem is going to relinquish control at the very last moment and reveal...
Reveal what?
Strong underlying masochism.
You are?
I'm going to get that apology, you know. This whole business has been humiliating and degrading, and I'm owed an apology.
She remembered me.
And she had to go back to the general strike, too.
Did you buy her a collapsible umbrella?
Of course not. Did the trick, though, eh? The heat's off.
Well, someone bought her a collapsible umbrella.
Then he can stay out of my fantasy, too.
Is there any significance in a collapsible umbrella?
Size isn't important, Dick.
One other thing, Royston.
What?
Isn't it about time you left school?
Well, Hitchcock, I see you failed your A-levels again. Remind me, how many times is that?
19 times, miss.
I admire your tenacity. Every year I see you back here trailing after yet another sixth form. Tell me, how old are you?
37, miss.
A bit too old to call me miss. You can call me Terence.
Terence, miss?
Don't you think it's time you went out into the world?
But if I don't get my A-levels, miss, I won't be able to pursue my chosen profession.
Really? You're looking that far ahead, are you?
Am I being expelled, Terence?
Yes, if it's possible to expel a 37-year-old schoolboy.
But it's not nice out there, miss. Besides, I'm playing the angel Gabriel in the nativity play. Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy. A babe is born this night in Bethlehem.
Sorry, Hitchcock, my mind's made up.
But Terence...
Watch out for the hot bubbling mud as you leave.
You know, maybe I did give her a hard time in there. These last few weeks can't have been much fun.
What?
Seriously. Maybe I ought to apologise for real this time.
Maybe you should get in a bit more practice first.
I thought it was you.
Do I know you?
I didn't think you'd have the nerve to go walkabout.
Fair's fair. The column's got a lot better lately.
My son was a high achiever before your speech. Now he's a dropout.
Will you let me get by, please?
Oh, he's got really blasé about fame since they started printing his mugshot with his byline.
Mugshot's out of date. He doesn't look ill enough.
You're not ill, are you?
Oh, no, I think I'm about to be. Look, do you think if I pour pathetically at your sleeve, you might put these rather primitive emotions on hold?
Who are you calling primitive?
Oh, do you think you might loosen your grip then? A thyroid problem.
Yes, let go of his thyroid.
My son not only ritually burnt the book token you presented him with, he thinks I'm part of an outmoded patriarchy.
Well, it's just articulating a deep-seated cynicism about the already present in your...
Just a... something to remember an outmoded patriarch by.
Bully! You okay?
Oh, I think I've just come up against the complicated matrix of reward and deterrent.
I can see I missed quite an evening. Are you sure you're okay?
Fine. I'm just not used to having my windpipe crushed by patriarchs uncertain of their role in a changing world.
Oh, what luck. I almost forgot the good bit.
Oh, no.
I've made a complaint to the Press Complaints Commission.
What?
Have a nice day.
You know, I've been thinking.
What?
Maybe I should get a bit more practice before I apologize.
In The Older Woman by Tony Bagley, Martin Clunes was Roy and Zoe Wanamaker Jane. Toya Wilcox was Elsa. David Troughton, Mr. Say. Jeff McGiven, Dick. Melanie Hudson, Sheila. Keith Drinkle, Joyce. And David Holt, Yates. The music was composed by Julian Wastall and the theme sung by Toya Wilcox. The producer is Paul Schlesinger.